Hi, welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. On this week's very special coronavirus bonus episode, we are doing our long-awaited check-ins to see how we're doing, and we have a fantastic interview with Josephine Atluri, who is a meditation teacher, and she gives us some great tips on how to stay calm during coronavirus with our kids. And we close with our BFPs. Let's get to it. Hey, Shauna.
Hey.
It's been a while since we've done a coronavirus check-in.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
So what day is today?
Well, I've got to ask Alexa, because I don't know. Let's see. Yeah. Alexa, how many days has it been since March 13th?
March 13th, 2020 was 116 days ago.
What did she say? I couldn't hear.
116 days ago.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, my God.
It's what, July 7th today?
It's July 7th. Yeah. Wow. So we're really just in the thick of it. And, not too much has changed because I know that our city and our state has started opening up a bit, mm-hmm. Restaurants, gyms, all kinds of stuff started opening. And I was like, nah, I'm not ready to be a part of that. And so my family's still sheltering in place, more or less. I still do grocery delivery and pickup. Elle still is not in preschool. Her school's still closed, and we're still working from home. So yeah, we're still working from home and recording this podcast from home. So you probably hear my neighbor's leaf blower gardener next door.
They always show up when it's time to record. I think there's one in my neighbor's yard now, too. So
yeah,
apologies,
I think they have an
listeners.
App. They know. They're like, oh, Sean and Laura recording right now, so it's time for us to go blow. Let's see. Oh, there's just so much to talk about and update, but I don't want to go on and on. So a couple things that have changed are a little bit different. We did go to a park for the first time. We've gone a few times now with the girls, like as a family. Mm-hmm. And that was something we were avoiding for a while. We went to a park near our house, not the playground, but it's just a beautiful grassy area, and it has like a creek, but the creek is dry, so the girls brought like their buckets and, you know, went and played in the dry creek and dug in the sand, and it was just very refreshing to get out of the house and do something different, because most of our activity has been in the backyard and stuff, because we're lucky that we have a yard with tons of toys and entertainment for the kids. So, yeah, it was just, I know you've been going to a park.
Every day at least once. I mean, we have to, because our yard isn't as conducive to play as yours is. It's a listener was like, left a comment on Instagram and was like, you need to do a walkthrough of your backyard because you keep talking about like what a toddler death trap it is. And so I should do that. I'm going to go on Instagram and I'll do like a little walkthrough video of my toddler death trap backyard.
So. Yes, yes. Your backyard is very different from mine in terms of ability to entertain to small children.
Yes.
So we are lucky in that regard.
Was that park closed at the beginning or was it just that you guys sort of stayed away?
I don't think it was ever closed because it's really just kind of like a green belt up against the hills up where I live. I don't really know. It just never occurred to us, really, to go there. So, yeah, I don't know. But, you know, I'm really just at the point of, like, missing my family, missing my friends. I don't know when this is going to end. And you and I and our friend Jen have been trying to negotiate starting a pod, a quarantine, so we can see each other and our kids can see each other. And that's in the works. And I really hope that works out.
Yeah, I owe you guys an email about that. That's, like, on my to-do list for today. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we have to negotiate terms, basically. We have to figure out what we all collectively agree is safe behavior, what we consider to be like beyond safe, and how long we need to quarantine if we, you know, engage in that behavior. You know, there's just a lot to discuss. And I think it's really like, it's so funny because Corey was reading that email. Like, I started an email. I was like, dude, we need to quarantine up. Like, I can't face the prospect of like potentially another year of this without seeing friends and having my kids see friends. And so I was like, how do we make this happen safely? And are you interested? And it seems like people are interested, but it does require us to sort of be very specific about what we're we consider safe. And I think it's really, but Corey was laughing because it was like, you know, like I said, every little thing we did that was like anything outside of the house and like, you know, I had to go into Walgreens to pick up a prescription, you know, I had a mask on.
But I really need to find one that has a drive-through. Yeah, it was very specific.
Yeah, exactly. And but I kind of like that we're all being very clear about that stuff up front, because then there won't be any weirdness in later. You know, like let's say if we just were like, okay, let's quarantine, and then we met up and then we're all talking and, you know, Jen is like, wait, you guys don't wipe down your groceries? Like, right. Oh my God, you know, so we have to discuss. And so,
yeah, figure out the deal breakers.
And... yeah, exactly. I think the good thing is that we're all kind of on the same page.
Seems that way.
Yeah. So, I wanted to work out so badly. I want to see
know.
You.
I just the other day, for some reason, I was like, oh my gosh, I haven't seen Laura and her baby. Well, and Corey too, but really the baby. Okay. Since January. And he's probably so much bigger and so much different. And it just really pains me to miss like half a year of my best friend's baby's life, because it's just so much changes, you know?
Yeah, me too.
So I really want that to work. And we will, I'm sure, update everyone on our process.
Our negotiations.
Yes, our negotiations and our contract that we may draw up. The only other thing I was going to report is that I did get a COVID test. This was a while back when the mayor was like, everybody gets COVID tests, even if you have no symptoms, blah, blah. And I was like, well, I don't have symptoms, but who knows, you know? I took Chili to the vet for his whatever issue. And so it was an interesting experience for those who haven't gotten one through the county. I drove to a big mall shopping area, you know, the parking lot is where it was all set up, and they had cones set up so that cars could just kind of like snake in and out of these cone lanes. And I had to wait probably an hour.
Whoa.
Like I was in my car for an hour snaking through this line. Yeah. And by the time I got up there, you know, everyone's in there like PPE, full body, everything. And I gave him my name, and it was one of the mouth swabs. So I kind of just did it myself and put it in this thing. And a person in a full like PPE had like one of those long arm reacher things, you know, that has like a grasper on the end.
The claw or whatever, so you can get things up from the high shelves.
They could grab my test kit from afar. I held it out my window and they grabbed it with the grabber. And about 7 days later, I finally got results and they were negative, which was not a surprise.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was glad I did it, just because, you know, all the stuff you hear about asymptomatic people, and I keep in my mom's group, it's like, my neighbor has been quarantining for 90 days and he just tested positive. What the heck? And I'm like, is this possible? I need to know.
I know. You hear those stories where like people are being supposedly so strict and then they still get it. And you're like, what the hell? Like, how did that happen?
Oh, it's so crazy. So yeah, otherwise everything else is pretty much the same. I really think that we're probably not going to send Elle back to preschool next year. Mm-hmm. Like even if it does open, you know, if we're working from home, the preschool's so far away anyway. And I don't know, I'm weirded out about all of the precautions that are going to be in place. And is she going to have to wear a mask? And it just...
Well, you also live with your mother-in-law who's at a high-risk group. She's older.
Yes, yes. That is worth mentioning. She's older, so we're trying to be extra careful to keep her safe. So, yeah, that's where we are right now. What about you guys? Well, how are you doing 116 days in?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, it just feels like Groundhog Day, you know? Like,
oh, truly.
It never ends, it feels like. And I go through phases where I'm like, fine with it. And then I'm just like, oh my God, this is going to be another year. And I know that, like, do you remember at the beginning? I don't, this is not to gloat. This is to like, it's just to remember back when we were like 3 weeks in and everyone was like, it's going to be 6 weeks. And I was like, it's not, it's going to be a lot longer. Like, it's going to be a lot longer. Mm-hmm. And everyone was like, no, 6 weeks is going to be fine.
Yeah.
It's kind of how I feel about like, just in general, like, I perpetually feel like Chicken Little, who's like, it's not just going to be a couple more months, guys. Like, it's just going to keep going. Mm-hmm. And it stresses me out on one hand. On the other hand, it's just like, all right, this is what we're doing. Mm-hmm. It's not like nothing substantial is going to change until there's a vaccine, it seems like. So let's just like figure out how to live this way. And in that respect, you know, in addition to like going out to the parks like we've been doing, which is it's super easy to socially distance in the park. And the more research that's coming out, the like more it becomes clear that it's really hard to get outdoors, basically. Mm-hmm. Like you have to be like standing right next to someone unmasked who has it for a good amount of time if you're outdoors to get mm-hmm. it. So
yeah, that's good.
I feel pretty confident about going outside. And if I walk by someone, you know, if I give them a mean look if they don't have a mask on and they walk right by us. But, you know, I'm not that worried.
Definitely throwing shade.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But so since we are sort of working on this like concept that this is not going to end anytime soon, we decided we need to figure out safe ways to break our bubble and mm-hmm. go visit my mom because they're, you know, she just... We don't want her to not be part of my baby's life, you know? And she is desperate to see him. Like, she had never gone 3 months without seeing him, right? So we decided to break the bubble. She was in Portland with my stepdad, who's in his 80s, and mm-hmm. she's in her 70s. So they're both very high risk. And so they decided to drive back down to Fresno, which is where I'm from. And we decided to drive up to Fresno and meet at their mm-hmm. house. And we, you know, quarantined before we got there. And so mm-hmm. did they. And then Corey and I got COVID tests mm-hmm. before we went just to make sure, you know, that mm-hmm. we weren't asymptomatic and bringing something up. So we actually had a very different experience with the COVID test. Ours was like through a private provider through the county website. So it was just like the closest one to us. Uh-huh. But it was, I had to like walk into a facility, which I wasn't super keen on, but it ended up being totally fine. Like there was one other person there.
Oh, good.
But I got the nose swab, the dreaded nose swab.
Oh, ow. What did that feel like?
It wasn't that bad, Shauna. I'm here to tell you it wasn't that bad. I've heard it varies. It depends on like who's giving it to you. But mm-hmm. the woman who gave it to me, I mean, it just felt like, you know, it does go all the way back. It kind of mm-hmm. goes like back and down. You know, it's getting to the back of your throat, basically. Just went to the back of my throat, kind of tickled around. It wasn't pleasant, but it wasn't painful. Uh-huh. And then we actually got our results 2 days later. So,
oh, nice. Yeah. That's good.
When we were both negative, of course. We wouldn't have gone up if we hadn't.
Yeah.
But so we felt pretty confident about being safe. When we went up, you know, we stopped once to get to power up the Tesla. Corey has a Tesla. It's very obnoxious. you know, get some food and let my baby stretch his legs and stuff. It's about a 3.5 hour drive. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I had to go inside to use the bathroom, but I was like the only one in the bathroom. I like hand sanitized before and after and wore my mask and, mm-hmm. you know, I think it's fine. It's been long enough. I know I didn't get anything on the trip. Uh-huh. And so we felt pretty good about showing up to Fresno and not, you know, not having to be distanced from my mom. So
good.
That was really nice. To be able to like hug a different person, to like hug my mom.
Yeah.
And, you know, she was so happy to see my toddler and he was so happy to see her and he was so happy to see my stepdad. He calls him Doodles.
And he's so cute.
Doodles, Doodles. Every time we FaceTime, I'm like, who do you want to FaceTime? He goes, Doodles. Doodles is pretty exciting. He's like an extremely tall Scotsman with like a big white beard and he hasn't trimmed his beard during quarantine, so it's like huge. And so that's very exciting for a toddler.
That's great.
But it was just really, really nice, a really nice visit. And then we mm-hmm. saw my dad, who also lives in Fresno, but we did a backyard socially distanced hangout with masks on because you know, I didn't, in case my mom and Neil were infected or something, we wanted to be safe. So we got to have a little bit of an interaction there. But you know, it's interesting. Fresno didn't have very many cases. This mm-hmm. was back in June, early June. Mm-hmm. And now they're starting to get more cases. And I think they're shutting, you know, the governor shut restaurants back down, mm-hmm. indoor dining in Fresno, too. So I think they're starting to actually see some effects. So, you know, it's just interesting how the second wave is hitting and hitting sooner than expected. And mm-hmm. it's just a good reminder that it's not over. It's not going to be over anytime soon. And we just have to figure out a way to live with it. So
that's, yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah. And this is why we need to quarantine, because it's just not reasonable to expect people to not see other humans for this long, you know?
Yeah, it's too hard, which is probably why a lot of society is flouting the rules and going out and seeing people and stuff, because it is hard. Like, I get it. I mean, it makes me mad, you know, because I think it's prolonging everything, but I get it. I do.
I 100% understand why people go out. Like, I it also makes me mad, and I don't think that they should, but I also think that we lack, like, proper guidance and leadership on it.
It's so confusing. Things are changing constantly, and like, if you're not tapped into the news, like, how are you supposed to know? It is.
Yeah, and also, if restaurants are open, why, you know, the message, the overarching message, restaurants are open, it should be safe to go to restaurants. They wouldn't open the restaurants if it wasn't safe, but you know, they did, and now it's a problem. So, but yeah, that's what we're doing. I'll give one more good update, which is that Corey is now alternating days with me for using the office. That was something new that we've come up with. So his contract for what he was working on previously was done. He was working on a virtual writer's room, and that show is done now. So he has a much more open schedule. And so we discussed it, and now he's doing Monday, Wednesday, Friday in the office, and I'm doing Tuesday, Thursday, which has been so great.
So great. Which means he's on baby duty Tuesday.
Baby
and
duty. Yes.
Yay.
Yes.
Great.
Which has really, really helped just getting a handle on life in general. Like, my emails are more under control. I've paid a parking ticket that I forgot existed, you know, like, just stuff like that. And then, you know, working on the podcast, not having to stay up till midnight editing and stuff like that. So I highly recommend, if you can trade off with your spouse, if you have a spouse or a partner, give it a try. Like, it seemed hard at first. It was like, oh, like, it's asking a lot of him, blah, blah, blah. And now it's just like, okay, it's Tuesday. Bye.
Good. Oh, good. You're in the swing of it now. That's good.
Yay. But anyway, I feel like that was a really long check-in, but it's also been a long time since we talked, so.
Indeed. Should we take a break and then come back with our interview with Josephine?
I think we should.
Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids. But you know, they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why Storyworth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give Storyworth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to storyworth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know, or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, Storyworth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted Storyworth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too, and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/BFP.
That's storyworth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at OneSkin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use.
I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not one skin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP.
We are back. We're very excited about our guest today. Today we have with us Josephine Atluri. She is a meditation teacher, an IVF warrior, and a mother of five children. Welcome, Josephine. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me on your show. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah. So we wanted to bring you on the show because you are a meditation expert and you're really giving out good advice right now for people and parents, especially dealing with the quarantine and coronavirus and COVID-19 and this big upset in our life. So for listeners, that's kind of what we're going to focus on today. But first, I would love to know if you could tell us a little bit about your background and how you became a meditation teacher.
Yes, absolutely. So I joke around that it's because of the five children that I needed to become a meditation teacher because I have to be the eye of the storm, which is super calm and quiet.
Yeah.
It's all of the swirl of chaos around me. And, you know, that really translates to other people's experiences in life, whether you're a parent or not. But mm-hmm. I came into this journey of mine through my fertility experience, which spanned a course of 13 years, and it involved IVF, several miscarriages, international adoption, and surrogacy. And mm-hmm. that's how our five kids came about. And I didn't have the benefit of meditation back then, and I wish I did, because I feel like it would have helped me out with a lot of trauma that I went through during mm-hmm. those times. And instead of having to repress it and having it build up. And so I'm on a mission to help other women and men who are going through their own fertility journeys and creation of their modern day families, and helping them use the tools of meditation and mindfulness to really help them navigate the turbulent time that you can experience. with infertility.
That's so wonderful. I went through IVF as well in a long fertility journey with miscarriages myself. And I do remember when I was preparing for my IVF, especially the transfer, my mother-in-law gave me a meditation like CD, or I guess it's not a CD, MP3, you know, and I listened to it on my phone every night, like in preparation, and it was so, so helpful. So I see where you're coming from, and I think it's so wonderful that you're, you know, bringing this to others. That's fantastic.
Do you practice a specific type of meditation? Like, how do you describe your practice?
So for my personal practice, I do a mix, and I try, and this is what I teach. I teach people to be flexible and to listen to what they need. So for example, some days I just need to sit in silence because I have had all five kids screaming mommy over and over again and never saying the word daddy, even though he's right here.
Oh, I can relate.
And so some days I just want that silent meditation. But then other days I feel like I need that boost because, you know, as we're talking about COVID during this episode, you experience highs and lows during this time. And some days you feel like you can just take on everything. And other days you feel like you just can't keep doing this over and over again, the same thing. And so I'll tap into a guided meditation on one of my many favorite apps and friends who are meditation teachers. And I look out for specific ones because they all have different themes. And it's okay to ask for help, whether that's using an app or doing an online session with someone or journaling, just reaching out and advocating for what you need so you can take care of yourself, so that you can take care of everyone else in your life. And so to answer the question of like specific type, it really varies on the day, but it'll be anywhere from guided to silence.
I love the flexibility in that. That's very, very cool and so important for busy moms, you know, like yourself. So we all know that self-care is important, but that doesn't really translate into action, especially for busy moms a lot of the time. So what are your thoughts on self-care, and how can we give ourselves permission to check out and maybe take time for meditation during this crazy time?
So when you think about, you know, that analogy of when you're on the plane and you should put the mask on yourself before putting it on your children, it's that same idea of taking care of yourself, because if your bucket isn't filled, there is no way you can fill up the buckets or the sippy cups of those children. You just cannot do it anymore. And then there's that idea that self-care has to be this big production or this very fancy or expensive thing, and it doesn't have to. Honestly, for me, find out what works for you. But for me, I like to sit in my minivan. I'm not going anywhere anymore these days, but it's the one place, the last place that they'll check. And so that place is just peaceful. Even if I'm not meditating, I'm just sitting there and just regrouping almost. That for me is self-care. At the end of the day, if you're able to take care of your emotional state, maybe your physical state, your mental well-being, that for me is the definition of self-care. And if you can do that once a day, you're better off after this few minutes. It just has to be a few minutes. You're better off when you come out of it. And then you can deal with everything that's coming at you from your child, your husband, your partner, whoever, whomever it may be.
Now, I feel guilty when I take time for myself. It's wild. It's like I know. I ask my husband, can you watch the girls? I have two girls, 4 and 1. And I'm like, can you watch the girls, you know, while I do work? And even doing work like feels so indulgent right now because, you know, the kids are around all the time. And how do you avoid feeling that kind of, I don't know, guilt for taking some time for yourself?
I totally hear you on this one because as a mom, I think that just goes with the territory. I don't know what it is. And so I myself have that feeling of guilt when I take time out to do something a little bit longer, perhaps. And so when I tag out with my husband and it's time for me to do my work in the afternoon, once he's done, I feel guilty if it goes a little bit longer mm-hmm. than what I had said it would be. And in those moments, I just stop myself. I do a lot of self-talk. I stop myself and say that this is what you had to do in order to be the best version of you, so that when you go back out there, you don't feel stressed that you didn't get all the things you accomplished, you weren't able to take care of yourself, you didn't get the rest that you needed, mm-hmm. and be okay with that. This is what you needed to do so that you can go back and be an awesome mom.
That's great. I love that self-talk. That's so good.
It seems like it's almost a reframing in that if you're a person who just doesn't feel like you can take time for yourself, you can reframe it as taking time for yourself is helping others. Like you are mm-hmm. helping your children. I think, you know, you talk about how if you're a calmer mom, it means you have calmer kids. And that's like a great way to curb this coronavirus anxiety we all have. Can you talk about this and like suggest ways maybe we can keep that calm during this time?
Yes, absolutely. You know, when you said that phrase about calmer mom, calmer kids, mm-hmm. I definitely notice the days when I'm emitting a negative vibe. Maybe I woke up on the wrong side of the bed and I see it in my kids. And that to me is just a signal of, hey, I need to take a pause here and step back and reset myself and reset my energy so that this doesn't continue. Because then it just sort of like the negativity feeds itself mm-hmm, and it just becomes mm-hmm. bigger. And then there's just like this dark cloud over the house, even though we live in Los Angeles and there's never a cloud over us. So ways to keep calm would be finding strategies that help you sort of slow things down. And, you know, as a meditation teacher, I'm going to sell you on this idea of taking a few minutes to use an app or sit in silence. But I feel like for new people, for people getting into meditation, it's always easier to follow some guidance, like a guided mm-hmm. voice, and or journaling. Or reading, just doing something that will slow down the swirl of activity that's happening both in your mind and in real life. And mm-hmm. so if you're able to do that, then you can return back to life, as we've been talking about, in a calmer place. Mm.
So it's all about slowing down, taking a moment, whatever, in whatever way works for you personally.
Yeah. And if, you know, meditation can seem so overwhelming, especially if you've never tried it before or you did and it didn't turn out the way you thought it would, then another way to sort of ease into it would be breathing techniques, which is something mm-hmm. that I teach my children.
Oh.
Down to the 4-year-olds up to my 13-year-old. And mm-hmm. it helps all of us. You don't have to, you know, go away to like your meditation corner where there's this pillow and you're in the lotus position. You can literally do it as your 13-year-old is throwing a tantrum with the 4-year-old right next to him throwing a tantrum.
Yes.
You can take a physical step back or a mental one and just do some breathing exercises, whether it's mm-hmm. just like counting your breath as it goes in, counting it back out, or just slowing it down and seeing how long you can take a deep breath in. When you slow down your breath, you're sending a signal up to your brain that's saying, I'm no longer in this stressful situation. This is no longer a fight or flight scenario. And I'm becoming calm. Everything is good. That's what you're saying to your brain when you slow down your breathing.
Okay.
And when you're standing there and doing it, you're focused on the breath and you're not listening to what's happening with your child in that moment. They're continuing to do what they're doing. Mm-hmm. But you're, and then when you return back to that situation, you're a lot calmer. And you mm-hmm. can respond in just a more positive and more mindful way versus reacting, you know, emotionally and how you're conditioned to react in those sorts of situations. And that's what I remind my kids to do. And it's funny because then they throw it back at me. You know, I think you need to breathe, mommy. Especially the first time my 4-year-old said it to me, when we were three, was in their car seat and I was stuck in traffic. And I was, I mean, LA traffic, that's mm-hmm. something to reckon with. And out of the blue, he said, "You need to breathe, mommy."
Oh my gosh. And that was just the best.
Yeah, I did. Well, we modeled what we want our children to do. And mm-hmm. so they see me meditating. The little four-year-old twins will tell each other, "Mommy's meditating, be quiet." And they'll usually just sit next to me and wait or lay their head in my lap. And it's the sweetest thing. But it's a part of normal for them because they see me doing it.
That's so great. Do you have a specific, like, very simple breathing exercise that our listeners could, like, step away and do if they're caught up in the chaos? Like, what is a very simple little thing they can do?
My favorite one is the one that I learned way back when I was learning to meditate, and that's a 4-second breath. So you're counting to four as you breathe in, then you're holding for 4 seconds, and then you're exhaling for 4 seconds, and then holding your breath again for 4 seconds. And then you can do, so it's a 12 seconds, you can do that for as many cycles as you need to in order to calm yourself down. But the trick here is that because you're counting, you can't think of anything else. Your mind literally can't think about, "Oh my God, I am so stressed out because, you know, my 11-year-olds are freaking out on me." No, what you're thinking about is that you're just counting this breath and making sure you're doing it for the right amount of time. And that separates you from that situation. And you've created, you know, you've created a pause and you're able to pivot out of it and start almost like fresh into that situation. So try that one out. It's super fast.
Thank you. Yeah. I have to tell you, I'd slowed down my breathing as you were talking about it. Just, and it felt so calm, you know? It's just
good.
It's such a wonderful thing to keep in mind. I love it.
Oh, I was just going to say, we all have it. It's all within us, the power of our breath, and we don't utilize it quite enough. Mm-hmm. And we always have it with us wherever we go.
Yes, true. True, true, true.
So I was going to ask, you talked about your two sets of twins. You're a parent of five, a singleton, and then two sets of twins. And I think to a lot of us who are trying to deal with one or two kids during quarantine, this seems like an amazing feat to be taking care of all these kiddos. Can you give us, have you had any interesting experiences? Any, like, do you have any, like, hot tips for us how to deal with having kids around all the time? I assume your kids are out of school, right? And you are home with them during this coronavirus situation.
Yes. Yep. We've been in it for quite some time, from when they were doing virtual school and doing, can I just say, doing virtual online preschool was hilarious.
I can't even imagine.
Oh my God. With twin boys. Did not want to sit, and I was watching the little girls on the Zoom. And they were so behaved, and I was so jealous.
Funny.
But you know what? I went strong for the first, like, 6 weeks. I was, you know, I was doing crafts with the little ones, and I was planning, you know, all these meals and sending all the older kids notifications via family text of, like, what was on schedule for the day. I mean, I took it as an opportunity to really just bring everyone together and just reconnect as a family. But then I burnt out.
Yeah.
I just went too strong. And it was like running. I compared it to running a marathon. I wasn't pacing myself. And so I, you know, mid coronavirus, I just didn't want to do anything anymore. And I sort of grappled with that. But once I came to the realization of what was happening, I gave myself a pass. And I was honest with my husband that I needed a break. I think I spent one day where I just didn't care what happened down there. And I was in the room and I just let him have at it, my husband and the kids. And I just needed that day. I think a lot of us, especially as moms, we have to feel like we feel like we have to sort of juggle everyone, and we put everyone on our shoulders. And I think just coming to terms with the fact that it's okay to let some things go and to give yourself a break. So after, you know, that, I called it kind of like my reset week. I didn't let them just go to town for a week. I went back to life after that long nap, but I didn't care about the fact that, okay, I wasn't planning these big family meals and I didn't craft with them anymore for mm-hmm. that week. I just was too tired and I had to be okay with that. So I think for that would be, to answer your question, that would be my advice for parents during this time. It's, you know, we don't know how long it's going to last. And yeah. so if we can live in the present and just appreciate what we can do in that moment, that's less overwhelming than trying to think, well, how am I going to last for another until the end of the year? I don't mm-hmm. think I can mm-hmm. do it. Just think about today. Think about what you can handle. Schedule in a break. You know, if you're lucky to have a partner, then try to tag out for a little bit and then just approach life that way. Otherwise, it's so overwhelming. And, you know, and that's the benefit of practicing meditation is that you can practice tapping into the present moment because we're all so used to thinking out ahead, thinking mm-hmm. back in the past. But mm-hmm. when you meditation just for a few minutes, you're really tapping into that moment. And even with that breathing exercise that you practice, you were so present. You weren't anywhere else. You were just here.
Yeah. You know, when this all started, I don't think any of us realized it was going to be a marathon. So, I mean, at least for me, I was definitely like similar attitude towards you. Like, this is a sprint. I got this, a schedule and this mm-hmm. and that. And same. It's like, oh my gosh, so burnout. This is a marathon. I got to find ways to get, you know, be easier on myself.
And when do you run a marathon not knowing when it's going to end, you know?
Yeah, true.
Yes, good point.
You know, could be 26 right. miles, could be 200.
Exactly.
Right. That's exactly oh, right.
That's very good advice. So, switching to fertility and trying to conceive. So you've been through pretty much every type of fertility journey that there is. So you know what a long, hard road it is. Do you have any advice for people whose fertility journey is being derailed or delayed by COVID?
Yeah. So because for a good amount of time before things started opening up, all of the treatments were paused. Mm-hmm. And it's such a time sensitive process that was really frustrating for many of the women that I was working with. And but there was also some peace in knowing that it wasn't directly related to them. That this was just mm-hmm. a part of life. And so they just had to deal with it. So what I advised a lot was to take the opportunity, this forced break that you have in whatever type of situation you're undergoing, if it's IVF, surrogacy, or international adoption and the borders are closed, is to use the time to reset yourself so that when you go back into the situation and they've allowed people to start doing things again, then you go back healthier, not just mm-hmm. physically, but also, you know, your mental well-being and your emotions, and really think of it as this opportunity to get back to where you were, because in this journey, especially the longer it goes, you start to lose sight of who you are and mm-hmm. what your goals are, and you get caught up in all of these negative emotions and failures and expectations not going the way you thought they were. And so this is, be grateful. I know it's hard, but be grateful for that opportunity to take care of your body and your mind. So that, you know, maybe you set yourself up for success when it's time to, you know, they hit the green light and it's time to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what I remember from my fertility journey is there's just so much physical stuff involved, appointments and drawing blood and taking medications and just this kind of flurry of stuff to get caught up into. So maybe it could be an opportunity to just, you know, pause and let go of all of that for the moment and recenter. I could see that would maybe be refreshing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, and then your body isn't so stressed as it goes into it, which is could be beneficial for you.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
I really think that this advice of sort of taking the pause, even though it's not, you know, probably not wanted by a lot of people and so stressful for so many people, like embracing it for what it is, because it's what we have. It's our only option right now. Mm-hmm. It's such a great way to frame it. And mm-hmm. just really, like, I think that for me, I've been sort of fighting against it mentally. Like, ugh, I'm just so mad at it. I'm just, like, so mad at the world. And I just want it, you know, I'm mourning the old way of life and mm-hmm. trying to see the good in it and feeling that moment of, okay, we're stepping back is a really good insight. So mm-hmm. thank you for that. I needed it.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. So Josephine, we've really, really loved talking to you today. I really think our listeners are going to love hearing your insights on meditation and how to be the calm eye of the hurricane around us. Can you tell us where they can find you on social media and on the web? And if they want to take some meditation classes from you, maybe?
They can find me on my website, which is jatluri.com. It's ATLURI. And on Instagram, it's Josephine R. Atluri. And on both locations, you'll see links to signing up for a monthly newsletter that also gives you a link to a weekly free meditation that I do live on Zoom every Wednesday at 1:30 p.m. PST. Yeah, it's a great way to... I started doing it during the pandemic because people needed something. Mm-hmm. And back to that idea of asking for help, it's great to have someone live who's teaching you. You know, you can't go into a meditation studio, and not every city has that. So you're able to do it live with me. I teach the basics. And the best part is, if you have any questions about meditation, I always stay on afterwards to answer in the chat so that you can really, you know, you can really give meditation a good try during this time of the pandemic. And so on the website are also some free video meditations and links to my podcast, Responding to Life, where I talk about my fertility journey more in depth.
Wow, what awesome resources. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So our last question that we finish with all our guests is, do you have a BFP or Big Fat Positive? I'm sure you know BFP in the fertility world, stands for Big Fat Positive. Do you have a BFP recently that you can share with us and our listeners?
My BFP, and I love doing this, by the way, it would be running with my 11-year-old.
Oh,
it's something
nice.
New that we have been doing just in the past couple of weeks as we were looking for something new to do physical, like with physical activity for him. Mm-hmm. And it's been so great just to have this one-on-one time with him because, you know, it's so rare with all the kids coming at you, and we're able to reconnect a few times a week. Just mm-hmm. me and him, and it's a shared experience, and that it just brings a smile to my day.
Yeah. Oh, that's so nice. I love that. And exercise and fresh air, and what a great BFP.
Yeah, it makes me happy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much, Josephine, for coming on our show. We really, really appreciate it, and we will be checking out all your stuff and maybe joining you on one of your free meditations.
Yes. I would love that.
Yes.
It's right during nap time. It's so convenient.
It's so perfect. I'm jumping into that class like tomorrow.
The funny thing is, that's a really good observation because that is why I planned it for that time before my husband got rid of that middle of the day nap.
Oh, man.
What? Oh, my goodness, husbands.
So now, you know, there is a possibility that they'll come running in during that time because they're not sleeping.
Oh, my gosh.
Too cute. But I would love for you guys to join me.
Okay, we will. Thank you so much, Josephine. And have a wonderful day.
Thank you. You too.
Shauna, I am so happy we did that interview with Josephine. She was so great.
Me too. It was wonderful. Yes. Feeling calmer already.
Yes. Listeners, I hope you got some benefit out of that discussion we just had. And I think I'm going to go take some deep breaths.
Uh-huh.
And we should come back with our BFPs.
Okay. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna.
Think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors. There's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor. And I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important. And therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although of course it is helpful in those situations too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With LolaVie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the ringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter LolaVie's bestsellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
LolaVie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at LolaVie.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. And we are back. So for our special coronavirus quarantine bonus episodes, we are just doing big fat positives. No big fat negatives, all positive. Mm-hmm. And we are doing one personal and one bonus BFP. So Shauna, do you want to share your personal BFP with us?
I do. So as you mentioned earlier, we are living with my mother-in-law right now. And one of the amazing benefits of that is that she has been watching The Girls while Steve and I take a walk by ourselves in the morning.
I'm so jealous.
Yeah, it has been awesome. Okay, so that's the first part of it, just having, you know, alone time with him and being able to get out of the house without the kids. Well, we started like taking different routes on our walks, and we discovered recently that if we take this one street, it crosses the freeway and then starts like going uphill in this gorgeous neighborhood. And at the very top of this hill is like we discovered a trail, like because, you know, I live in the North Valley up near the hills.
Yeah, you're in like basically right next to the foothills.
Yeah. And this was all just like these fun little discoveries we were making on every walk, right? Like one day we would walk and we'd walk up that nice neighborhood. And then the next time we'd walk up and be like, oh, what's up there? I wonder if we can like walk in those hills. And we found the trail. And like turns out the trail goes down into a valley. And it's like this lush little valley. It was on fire recently, oh, no. Like last, you know, the last one I had to evacuate my house. Yeah. So a lot of the trees are black, but so much green foliage has like bloomed up amongst all that. So it's interesting dichotomy, but it's so nice, like just to be in nature and walk by this little mm-hmm. creek that actually has water in it. And we came out of this like actual trailhead that I'm like, oh my God, we live within walking distance to a hiking trail.
Amazing.
I had no idea. So Steve and I have been doing this walk and this little hike a few times a week, and it's great exercise. It's more exercise that I've gotten in years because it really is quite steep. You know, we're huffing and puffing and getting good exercise, and it's probably my favorite thing about quarantine right now. I love it.
I love those happy surprises mm-hmm. that you discover. That's awesome. I also love walking around a fancy neighborhood.
Oh, me too. The looking landscaping is so nice. I'm pretty sure it's like an HOA community. So everything is like nicely landscaped. And oh my God, it's just so pretty.
That sounds lovely. Well, yes. I'm jealous.
Yeah. Well, if we quarantine, maybe we could do it together.
Oh, we could leave the babies with the boys and we could go.
OMG. I love the way you think.
Yes.
Okay. All right. What's your personal BFP?
Okay. Mine is a product that my mom got for my baby.
Ooh.
So I get to Fresno and my mom is like, I have stuff. Like she hasn't been able to like bestow toys aww. Upon the toddler in months. So she's like, I have so many toys. And one of them was this thing that is by the brand UTEX, UTEX. Uh-huh. And it is a 3-piece space astronaut kids play tent. So it's like,
heck yeah.
So it comes in this little carrier that looks like, you know how like you have those windshield shades for your car, like
the round things,
that collapse down. So it's 3 pieces of like there's like a tent, a tunnel, and then a little like cube tent thing that have like a space theme. So there's like planets and rocket ships and stuff, and it collapses down into like a little container, like a little handled baggie for travel, which is super easy, but it's huge when you open it up.
Oh, cool.
And so you connect them all together.
Mm-hmm.
And they make this little like tunnel. We usually just use like 2 of the 3 pieces at once because our house is small.
Mm-hmm.
But my toddler loves it.
Oh,
and
yay.
If you have balls, you can like throw them in and make one of them a ball pit too, which is mm-hmm. fun. We don't have them, but he loves like crawling through it and playing in the tunnel. There are little like peepholes in the little spaceship tent. So he loves like peeking at me through it. And then he laughs and laughs.
Oh,
and
so cute.
It's been really fun. So I will put a link in the show notes, but it's UTEX astronaut kids play tent, and it's been a really fun little toy and you know we're always looking for something new to entertain them.
Yes, and that it stores so compactly.
Yes,
you know, and a small house is key.
And it comes with like stakes where you could put them in like grass outside too.
Oh,
so like we
cool.
brought it to a park and played with it there, and that's been fun too.
Yeah awesome.
All right, so do you have a bonus BFP?
I do. I wanted to share the face masks that I got recently.
Oh, yeah.
Because I love them. I actually ordered them probably back in March or April. Mm-hmm. The mayor, actually, in one of his press conferences, suggested this company. It's a local LA clothing company called Marine Layer.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if they stopped production on their clothing, but at least for a while, they were focused on making masks. And you go to their site and you can buy a pack of 5 for yourself, or you can buy a pack and have them donated to healthcare workers. And I guess they'll send them. So I was like, okay, that sounds cool. And I got them, and they are just like the softest, most comfortable things ever. I'm so happy because I've tried a couple other masks. You know, I've had like the N95 thing, and which is good for certain situations, but it's just not comfortable, and it's like gross to breathe in mm-hmm. and stuff. And this is really nice. It's easy to breathe in. It has a little pocket if you want to put a filter. We have a lot of different little filters we can put in there. And it has the ties around the head, which I did not think I would like. Mm-hmm. But I really, really do like it now. I tie it around my head. And then when I'm walking or hiking, I can just kind of like take it off the top of my ears and keep it around my neck. And then just like loop it back up over my ears when I need to.
I'm all about a mask that goes behind your head.
It is better. It doesn't pull on my ear, you know, the backs of my ears or anything. So if you're looking for new masks and you're looking for something very comfortable, easy to talk in, I definitely suggest going to MarineLayer.com. Maybe, I don't know. Marine Layer is the name of the company.
Do they make kids' masks?
No, I don't think so. No. But I will say Elle does wear them. And yeah, they're fine. I don't know if it'd be good for extended use, but yeah, since you can tie it, I can like adjust it to her head. So
that's cool.
Yeah. So that's been a delight. And like, they send you whatever random colors, and I was very happy. I got like a bright pink one.
Oh, nice.
Which is so happy. Like a bright lime green, and then a couple neutral, like dark forest green ones.
I've made my masks out of like leftover quilting fabric that I have around, and so they're all like these random bright colored masks.
I love it. Yes. Something to cheer me up.
Yes.
As I wear a mask. All right. What about you? Bonus BFP?
Okay, mine is a podcast that I had never heard about before. I'm not even sure how I got a tip off about it, but it sounded interesting to me. The podcast is called The Pessimist's Archive. Have you heard of this?
No, tell me.
And the subtitle is a history show about why people resist new things. So like they have episodes on like the elevator, you know, like why people were like anti-elevator when it first came out, stuff like that.
Well, because they're a death trap.
That is the short answer. Yeah. But specifically, I wanted to highlight this episode they put out recently that's titled The Good That Comes from a Pandemic.
Okay.
So they went back in history and they talk about like the Black Death and like what came out of it. And then the 1918-1919 flu pandemic and how it sort of changed society. And it's not all roses. You know, they recognize that a lot of bad comes out of pandemic too, but they talked about what happened in the past and also what might happen in the future and what benefits we might be getting out of this pandemic. And it's very clever. I'm not a big history person. Like I don't generally listen to history podcasts. I find like dates really annoying. Like I can never remember what year things happened in. That's how history class. But I find it to be really like it was very narrative and very easy to connect with, and so I really enjoyed it. So I look for The Good That Comes from a Pandemic in The Pessimist Archive, and I found it in Apple Podcasts. I'm sure it's everywhere.
Yay.
Oh, and there was a little bit of a bonus there, which is I listened to the end and I was listening to the credits and I heard him say that the theme song was by Casper Baby Pants.
Oh, yeah. Which I have been listening to. Well, not I, but our family, my kids have been listening to on repeat. And yeah, so fun. They love it.
Really fun. So that was a nice little surprise. But yeah.
That's so cute. I love it. I'm going to definitely check that out.
Sweet. But yeah, that's my BFP. And I think that's our episode.
I think it is. Well, it was good to catch up on all this stuff.
Yes.
And listeners, it has been such a long time since we've checked in and heard from you, too. So if you have any new updates or anything you want to share about what's going on in your life now that we're this far into the COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic, please reach out and let us know. And we would love to share your stories, too, if you want to share them with us. So, Laura, where can everyone reach us?
We are on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BFP Podcast. You can send us a voice memo or just a regular old email to contact@bigfatpositivepodcast.com or go to our website, use the contact form, bigfatpositivepodcast.com. Or you can join our Facebook community group. Just search Big Fat Positive Community. It's a private group, so I have to add you. There's two membership questions you have to answer. And if you answer them, you'll get right on through and join in on all our awesome conversations we're having in there.
Yes. Big Fat Positive is produced by Laura Bierick, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager. Thank you so much for listening. Stay healthy. We love you. Bye.
Bye.